Wherever you are, whether you are in this little room or you are online with us somewhere, just lift up your hands, man, woman, little children, young people, lift up your hands from the depths of your heart. We have done that a lot already in this service. Just do it one more time. Say, Father, I thank you for being my Father. Thank you for loving me the way you do. Thank you for picking me up, making me a somebody. You changed my story. You changed my life. You gave me a new beginning. Father, I thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you. My redemption, my salvation, my deliverance. You are my everything. Thank you, my Father. I truly honor you. Whatever honor means to you today, I want you to truly honor your Father right now. Say, Father, I honor you from the bottom of my heart. I honor you with my everything. I honor you with my greatest assets. I honor you with my best possessions. I honor you with my highest dreams. I honor you with all of my accomplishments. I honor you. I honor you, my Father. And I give you all the glory. And I give you all the praise, because you alone truly deserve it. You alone truly deserve it. There is no other God like you. Every other God is an idol. You are the only true God. You are the Jehovah. You are the Almighty God, the one who sits above the circles of the earth, the Most High God, the one who is King, who is Lord above all. We give you our praise, O God. I give you my praise, O God. I give you my glory, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have worshiped. Everybody shout a living amen. Come on, somebody shout a living amen. Glory to God. Amen, amen. Wow, we're having a wonderful time in this service. Oh my goodness, have you ever seen men sing like this? There's such an anointing. My goodness. Woo-hoo. What a glorious anointing on our precious brothers. Hallelujah. I just want to honor all of our men, brothers, fathers, young people, older people, those that are present here with us in this little room, and those that might be online with us. We honor all of you. We thank you for being a part of this celebration. We are so thankful that you took the time on a day like this to come and celebrate with us. Amen. Yeah, our men really went for it, though. I have never seen anything like that before. This is the most anointed men singing that I have ever. And some of you are laughing, like you are laughing with the depth of your voice, like Sarah was laughing. I really mean it, seriously. These are men are so anointed. Amen. And I'm calling the things that be not as though they are, in the name of Jesus. We truly love our men. We honor our fathers today. You guys are an amazing blessing. Amen. If there is a man around you, would you just love on them? Young man, older man, just love on them. Tell them, I honor you, I thank God for you, I appreciate you. We love you. Hallelujah. We honor you. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. All right, thank you. Thank you. You may go back to your seats now. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I want to take a moment just to thank God for all our women, our precious mothers, sisters, daughters, You are the ones who make us who we are. I have never seen a man who was blessed, prosperous, achieving destiny, who did not have a woman that made it possible. I have not seen one. So we thank you, our sisters. Thank you for being a part of our lives, for loving us the way you do. You will not lose your reward. The Lord will remember you. Many of you still carry us. We are older than we were when we were born, but you are still carrying us today. Because sometimes, as men, sometimes we just want to be babies. Sometimes, as men, I'm just confessing to you. Sometimes we just want to be children. Right? I've seen mothers love their children. I've seen mothers love their little ones, their boys, their girls. Right? And you know that mother's love, you can't miss it. Sometimes we men, we just want to be loved like that. I'm just telling you now. You won't see this on social media. I'm just telling you the truth. We just want the precious people in our lives to come around us once in a while and to say, I appreciate you. I love you. I thank God for you. It means so much. It means so much. When you see men looking so like iron, like wood that won't break, it's all a facade. Deep down in there, there's a little boy yearning for love, yearning for affection, yearning for protection. Men want to be protected. They want to be defended. We know many times we don't deserve it, though. We know you are right. If you slap us sometimes, you are right to do it. Because sometimes we do some of the things that are unimaginable, and the people who see us like, how can you do that? That is stupid. That's true. But even in our stupidity, we just want to be loved. Amen. Amen. We want to be protected. We want to be taken care of. So thank you, our women, our precious women. We appreciate you. Let's thank God for all our women. Amen. Glory to God. Our time is far spent. We need to spend some time in the Word. Before we take our confession and go into the Word, I'm going to ask Pastor Tinu to come. You are going to do this very, very short, but it's going to be substantial. It's not the length. It's going to be the quality, right? I like how every Father's Day to come out, there are two fathers in our family. One of them has already transitioned to heaven. That's my own biological father. What a glorious man that man was. Yes, I love him with everything. I don't know anyone until I met my wife. I don't know anyone. Well, my mother transitioned very early. Mm-hmm. My mother went to heaven very early. But after my mother left, I don't know anyone who loved me as much as my father. Yeah. Outside of my wife. And so every time I remember my father, he gives me so much joy. Yeah. Even though he's in heaven, I still laugh about him. Mm-hmm. I remember some things about last night. We got back from all the graduation ceremonies. I sat down. My wife was getting me dinner. I sat down in the dining table on the wall. There was his photograph there. I looked at him as though he's still here. Mm-hmm. And I shook my head. I just love him so much. Mm-hmm. But he's already in heaven. But right here with us, we still have our beloved father. Mm-hmm. Now that is not my biological father, but he's my father. Yeah. He's my wife's biological father. We love him so much. What a great man. What a great man. And I know he makes it a point of duty, wherever he is in the world, to join our services on Father's Day. And so I'm going to give Pastor Tinu a couple of minutes. That's not like American couple of minutes. That's British couple of minutes, which is two. Let's thank God as Pastor Tinu honors our father.
Well, we want to say happy Father's Day to you, Dad, Professor David Olatunwosun Okeh, Senator of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. We want to honor you for all that you have done to raise us. We, your children. My husband and I, we stand for all our family saying you are the best dad. Still living. We appreciate you. May the Lord keep you, preserve you, protect you. Extend your life. He'll be 90 next year. So, yeah. Praise God. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. That's awesome. You did good. Hallelujah. She did good. She really did good. We love you, Daddy. If you are hearing us today, you are online with us in real time, or you are seeing this afterwards, we love you. You are precious to us. We thank God for you. And Pastor Tinu said, the Lord will sustain you and help you enjoy the fruit of your labor in Jesus' name. Okay, before you all sit down, today we also have a Thanksgiving service. It's part of why some of you are guests are actually here. A Thanksgiving service for a great dude in the house. He's a great dude in the house. He's our 50-year-old dude. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He was the one singing and muttering all the songs right here. He was under the anointing, but he was murdering the songs. He will have a do-over next year. He will have a do-over next year. So we will overlook. This one is a celebration of his birthday. So we will overlook all the murders. We truly love you, Deacon Uch. You're precious to us. You're amazing. You're a blessing. Hallelujah. I saw your dad came. You know, I was traveling and you didn't leave yet. Mr. Achara, you didn't leave yet. When I heard his voice, I was traveling when Deaconess Dubem called me. And she says, guess who is here? I said, who is here? And then he spoke and I heard that voice, Mr. Achara. That's my man. We love you, sir. We love you. Thank you for coming. I know you are really happy to be here to celebrate your son. We're happy for you. We love him. They are not happy in your church. Don't mind them. This is more important today. This is more important. We thank God for you and thank God for all of our guests, everyone that came to celebrate with the Acharas. Amen. Okay. Let's take our confession. You guys will give me a few minutes to minister the word of God. Let's take our confession. Let's take that confession standing, and then I'll get you to sit down. Let's do it. 2, 3, go. It should be on the screen. 2026 is my year of supernatural shift, and power is changing hands. The shift is here, and I am taking over. Supernatural, helped, incredible, favored, and transfer of power. This is my crossover, pass over, take over, make over, do over, walk over, and fly over year. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is weary. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. There is no one like the God of Israel who rides across the heavens to help me. The eternal God is my refuge, and underneath me are his everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before me, and he will say, destroy them. I am helped, favored, and blessed. The Lord is my saving strength and the shield of my life. My help comes from him who made heaven and earth. He will not allow my foot to slip or be moved. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord preserves me from all evil in my going out and in my coming in. He is my protective shade and my covenant covering. I sit fearlessly and confidently at the throne of God's unmerited favor, and I soak up his mercy and grace. Praise God, I am helped, favored, and blessed. This is my year of the incredible. My incredible praise to my incredible God is provoking incredible miracles in my life. Strange things, remarkable things, extraordinary things, astonishing things, and unimaginable things are all lined up for me in this season. The story and glory of my life today will be improbable, amazing, unthinkable, and uncommon in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 2026 is my year of non-stop laughter, celebrations unlimited, unending festivities, and round-the-clock jubilation. Adversity will expire and I will recover. God will have the last laugh and the final say. I'm laughing today, tomorrow, and the day after. Look what the Lord has done. There is no expiration on his promise now. Sorrow is destroyed. Failure is forgotten. Anxiety is vanquished. Fear is defeated. Setback is sent back. Bad news is stale news. Satan is conquered. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, laugh with me. In this season, it is shifting and there is a lifting up for me. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump, and he sets them among princes, placing them in seats of honor. He's shifting and there is a lifting up for me. God said, he's giving me treasures hidden in the darkness and secret places of the earth. It is shifting and there is a lifting up for me, from bitter waters in Marah to pleasant streams in Elim. It's shifting and there is a lifting up for me, from forsaken to Hephzibah, from rejected to Beulah. It's shifting and there is a lifting up for me, from beggar to ruler, from loner to owner, from supplanter to contender. In this season, it's shifting and there is a lifting up for me in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my year of vision shift and generational shift. I see the invisible and I do the impossible. This is my season of opportunity and open doors. I give my bread to the hungry and I offer hope to the hopeless. I am anointed to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort the afflicted, and to set the captives free. The spirit of sacrifice is upon my life. I say yes to your way and yes to your will. My Father, I choose you as my priority and I make you my destiny. I receive the sweet fragrance of heaven over my life today. The plague is stopped, the curse is broken, and my bloodline is redeemed forever. Hallelujah. I speak life. Lazarus, come forth. I speak life to you. Dry bones, come alive. I speak life to every part of my body and my mind. Come alive. I speak life to you. Cells, vessels, nerves, tissues, organs, systems, limbs, and joints. Come alive in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I speak life to you. Dreams, womb, ventures, investments, treasures, properties, ministry, family, partnerships. Come alive in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, speak life. I speak life over God's people. I speak life over God's inheritance. I speak life over God's purpose, God's agenda. I speak life over these families. I speak life over God's children. I speak life over our future. I declare we are blessed in Jesus' name. 2026 is my year of supernatural shift and power is changing hands. The shift is here and I am taking over. Supernatural, helped, incredible, favored, and transfer of power. This is my crossover, Passover, takeover, makeover, do over, walk over, and fly over year in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, shout hallelujah. Shout a living hallelujah. Go ahead and be seated. Amen. Let's just spend a few minutes in the Word of God. Thank you. Thank you for listening and giving me your full attention. The Lord has something to say to you here. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I was really blessed by that message Pastor Muiwa ministered last Sunday. And the reason I had him do a 10-minute recap of that message today was before he ministered that message, which he titled Seat of Honor, the Lord had instructed me to minister on honor for Father's Day. Those of you who were here with us for Brother Sam's 60th birthday celebration, the Thanksgiving service, you remember that one of the things that we talked about, one of the instructions that the Lord gave him that day was God said, if you honor me, I will honor you. Amen. But the Lord said to build beyond that. And so I was really blessed. And in our confession, you see that line there where he says that paragraph, in this season, it is shifting. And there is a lifting up for me. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. And he sets them among princes, placing them in seats of honor. Glory to God. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. And he sets them among princes, placing them in seats of honor. I don't know if you know this, but God wants to honor you. God wants to honor you. And I'm so thankful that we all have the opportunity to sit around his word today. I want to minister to you briefly what I have titled, Honor's Reward. Honor's Reward. I'm the one preaching today. You see where that scripture is from? 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 7 and 8 in the New Living Translation. Would you put that for me? Who's helping me today, Mariah? Oh, my goodness. We have something going on today. Oh, I know you're ready. I know you're ready. Let's do it, Mariah. All right, look at this. The Lord makes some poor. This is the New Living. You may have to take him to the room. We have a side room. So take him there, settle him down, then bring him back. Thank you. We love our children, right? I say we love our children. I just want to make sure everybody hears this message. He's not the only one who hears it. Amen. Look at this. The Lord makes some poor and others rich. He brings some down and he lifts others up. I need to explain that to you. Go back there for a minute. The Lord makes some poor and others rich. He brings some down and he lifts others up. I need you to get the context of that. What that scripture is saying is God has the ability to do that. That's what he's saying. He doesn't say he will do it. That's why, there's a popular, I came out of an Islam family, Muslim family. I was raised in Islam. And one of the popular things, one of the most popular doctrines in Islam is that God has already planned from the beginning of times. Some people will be rich, some people will be poor. Some people will be blessed, some people will be cursed. And they say God determined this before anybody ever did anything. So that's why you see in the Islamic religion, there's a lot, and I want to be very careful in picking my words, but there's a slavish mentality where people just, there's this hardcore belief. It is the way it is because God planned it that way. If you are a beggar, that's because you were ordained to be a beggar. Don't even try to be anything else. Because your lot in life, you should be a beggar. And if I am an imam or a priest, an alaji, it's because God ordained that to be so. But that is not the word of God. You see from a lot of what the Lord shows us today, it is not so. You and I determine the seat of honor on which we sit. You and I will determine that. God did not determine your life, everything about your life, before you were born. The only thing God determined before you were born is that you will be blessed. That's the doctrine of predestination, that you will be blessed. And as long as you walk with him, and as long as you make decisions that align with God's will for your life, you will end up blessed. Somebody say amen to this. So he's saying God has the ability, but God isn't determined to make some poor and some rich based on nothing. Let's go on to the next verse, verse 8. This is the crux of our scripture right here. He lifts the poor. This is what God wants to do for us. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. And he sets them among princes, placing them in seats of honor. God wants to make something significant out of your life. Everybody under the sound of my voice today. Whatever is going on in your life, wherever you are, your story is still being written. It's not over until God says it's over. God wants to do something significant in your life. Look at it. He wants to lift you up out of the dust, out of the garbage dump, and he wants to set you up among princes, placing you in seats of honor. Because why? Because he can. Because he has the ability to. His will, his purpose, his counsel is to raise you up. And if there's somebody listening to me today, and you feel like you are a beggar in the garbage dump, and you feel like your life is not worth anything, and you feel like you have made a mess of all the opportunities that God gave you, and you feel like there's no hope for your future, I brought you good news. Amen. The Lord told me to tell you today, God wants to honor you. God wants to raise you up and place you in seats of honor. I don't hear anybody saying amen in this church. Did I come to the wrong? Is this Abundant Life or is this a Presbyterian church down the street? Did I go the wrong direction? Is this Abundant Life? Hey, you people are not sounding like Abundant Life. Oh. I know if we have guests, then you people start acting like Oyibo. I want to see Abundant Life. Oh. I can't preach to wood. You have guests now. You will start acting prim and proper. Say, we don't want them to think we are bush people. You are bush. You are already bush. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what you do. They already know you are bush. So just act your true color. And then all of us can be happy together. Shout hallelujah, somebody. What does it mean to honor God? When you honor God, God will honor you. Put that up for me, Moriah. 1 Samuel 2:30. We read that already, but just read it again. Let's read verse 30 first, and then I'm going to have you back up for a minute. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, he says, I promised that your branch of the tribe of Levi would always be my priest. I want you to pay attention to this. God is telling this man, this is the priest. His name is Eli. Yes. He is the priest who prays for everybody. He is the priest when people come to the temple, Minister Paul. When people come to the temple, he's the one who receives them. You remember when Anna was praying for his son? When Anna didn't have a son, he is the one who saw Anna's mouth moving. And he thought she was drunk. And then after he talked to her, and he found her is not there, he said, well, God grant you the desires of your. He's the priest. He's the one who has been anointed and appointed and assigned to bless the people of God. And God said, when he started his ministry as a priest, God said, I made you a promise. God said, I promise you. It's just like, when I read that scripture, it's just like the promises God gives us every year as we read it. These confessions, the reason we read them most Sundays is we are reminding ourselves the promises God promised us
at the beginning of the year, this is coming to pass in our lives. This is the promise. It's coming to pass in our lives in 2026. But I want you to pay attention to this. God said, I promise you. I made this promise to you. But then he said, I changed my mind. He made a promise. Every promise you see in the Word of God, God made it. You can take any promise there in the New Testament. God gave it. God said, I promise. You see this? I promise that your branch of the tribe of Levi would always be my priest. Moriah, go put that up on the end, a New King James, NKJV. Thank you. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father will walk before me forever. God promised this. I promise you, you and your father's house will walk before me forever. God promised this. God promised, I will always give you a place in my kingdom. God promised this. He said, I will, you see, I will give you seat of honor. You will always be my priest. But then look at now, look at the but. He said, but now I change my mind. Sorry, that's my alarm. He doesn't know we have big celebration today, so just ignore it. He said, but I've changed my mind. Now the Lord says, far be it from me. Okay. So he's the one who made the promise, and now he's the one who has changed his mind. Question, why did God change his mind? That's the answer right there. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. See, notice he said, I promised. But because you did not honor me, I changed my mind. What is honor? Honor is weight. Honor is weight. To honor somebody or to honor something is to give that person or give that something more weight. It's like if you bring a scale and you bring a bar of gold, you put it on one side of the scale, and you bring another bar of silver or bronze and you put it on the other side of the scale, which one will be heavier? Which one will be heavier? Gold will be heavier. Honor is to give weight, more weight to other things in your life. That's honor. Now, I need you to get this. Because throughout the body of Christ, people don't understand this concept of honor. I need to clarify this for you this morning. I want you to hear. The Lord wants me to explain this to you. Most people believe they honor God. If you ask the average person, everybody in church, most people even in the world, believe they honor God. The only problem, God does not think they honor him. This priest, Eli, he was the priest. If you ask this man, he thought he honored God. He believed he honored God. So what was God's problem? I want to show you this verse. Back up right there to the verse before this, 29. This is the crux of honor. In verse 29, he said, why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place? Let me let me say something here. Every time you read the word of God, train your mind to focus on what is the heart of God in what he's saying. Don't train yourself to be religious minded, to focus so much on letters. This was the biggest problem Jesus had, the religious leaders, Pharisees and Sadducees, had with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they always focused on letters, but he always focused on the heart of God. In this scripture, if you focus on letters, you focus on sacrifice. You focus on offering. You focus on dwelling place. But the heart of God in this scripture is honor. It's honor. Look at it. He said, why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and you honor your sons more than me? To make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Notice, what God has a problem with Eli, is that Eli gave his family more weight than he gave to God. If you ask Eli, do you honor God? Eli will say, I honor God. But if you ask God, does Eli honor you, Lord? God will say, no, Eli does not honor me. Why? Because Eli gave more weight to his family than he gave to God. I want you to, every time you read the word, you read the Psalms, you read the Bible, you hear all these phrases. God is the Most High God. He's exalted above all. God, he deserves the praise. We were reading one Psalm this morning, Psalm 108. And David was going on and on, exalting him. He's worthy to be exalted. God is high and lifted up. God is truly the Most High God. God is truly the Most High God. Whenever anything or anyone in your life becomes higher than the Most High God, you have taken away his honor. This was the problem God had with Eli. When people came into the house to offer their sacrifices and to worship God, because Eli had become so old, fathers, listen to me. We love to be loved. We want to be loved. I said that to you at the beginning of this service. But as a man, your calling is not to be loved. That's why there are many fatherless men in the world today. And that's why there are many men creating fatherless children in the world today. As a man, your calling is not to be loved. Your calling is to be a priest. So whenever you compromise your calling to be a priest on the altar of wanting to be loved, you will lose honor with God. There were two major things that were wrong in Eli's life. Two major ways that Eli failed in the place of honor with God. Number one, he honored his children and his family more than he honored God. By this time, when his sons took over in the priesthood, it was too late for him to correct them. It was too late for him to tell them, go right, don't go left. It was too late for him to tell them, sit down. It was too late for him to tell them, shut up. It was too late for him to say, wait, let's pray about this. He raised them with this freedom freestyle culture that is acceptable to everybody. It's like, you know, in our house, we take a roll call and we take a vote. How do we? Where are we going on vacation this year? One, where? Three people voted for. Where is that in Florida? Orlando. Where is that? What's the name? Disney. Five people voted for wherever. Let's Grand Canyon. Let's go to Grand Canyon. When Eli was strong and young enough, when he could shape the will of his children, he didn't do it. He didn't do it. The catastrophe and the calamity in Eli's life, he was so protective of his children and his family. He so loved them with a passion that even when they were doing wrong, he wouldn't correct them. He was so hungry for love. He wanted to be loved. He couldn't be a good father. Fathers, your calling is not to be loved. Your children will love you one day, but it may not be today. My son blessed me. I received some texts earlier today. Pastor Tino, help me. Grab me. You know what? Don't worry. I have it on my iPad. I think I can get it here. He won't be embarrassed. I can read it to you. I think it's the best. I think it's probably the best Father's Day message that I have received from my son. He's in Chicago. I love him. But this is probably one of the best Father's Day message I've ever received from my son. But when he was younger, I couldn't imagine him sending me a message like this. When he was younger, maybe he went through a process to confirm that I really loved him. Because I would cuddle a little, but I was very firm. I was firm because I loved him as a young man. I love my daughter. It's very easy for a man to love his daughter. I prayed for my daughter. When the Lord asked us to, which one do I said, God, give me a girl first. and he answered my prayer. Hallelujah. And it's very easy to show. It's very easy. But as a young man, sometimes it's tough. Sometimes we wonder, do they love us? Why are they that tough on us? Yes, I love him. I love him with all my heart. I love him so much. I love him so much, I wanted him to turn out right. So I was very tough. I was very firm. And I have never received this kind of message that I received from him. I've received similar, good, but this is the best one I've ever received. Let me read some of it to you. Happy Father's Day, Dad. I love you. Thank you so much for being a great example of a father, a man, and a follower of Jesus. I appreciate all you do. And I pray that God continue to bless you for the sacrifices you have always made. I tell you, there's nothing better than that. There's no message better than that from your son. It's very easy. My daughter was a very sweet one. Sweet, don't worry about that. She's a sweet one every year. But for that to come from my son, because I know how tough I was on him. There's a calling for you as a father. If you want to raise up men, who will raise up another generation of men? You have to be willing to be a priest, though.
Yes.
You have to be willing to be a priest. Stand at the gate of your house and say, thus saith the Lord, This is where we are going. That's it. Whether it sounds good or not, whether everybody, it's not a majority vote. Like Joshua said, as for me and my house, I'm not here to win a popularity contest. I don't care about it. It means nothing to me. As for me and my house, there were two ways Eli missed it. He honored his children more than he honored God. He honored his children. He said, he wanted to protect his children. He wanted to, if he needed to make a decision between one or two, he thought first. Instead of thinking first about God, thinking first about what God wants him to do, he thinks first about what the children would like, what the family would like. The catastrophe and the tragedy of Eli's story is that that same family that he gave up everything to protect, he lost them all in one day. That same family that Eli gave everything, including his own life, because he died the same day his sons died, he died. And his own death was worse. He died of a broken neck. He fell down, his neck broke. His daughter-in-law had a son that same day. When they told her, everybody's there, she named the son Ichabod, meaning the glory departed. See, they thought the glory departed the day all those people died. No, the glory departed a long time ago when they did not make decisions to please God. When they did not make decisions to please God. When they did not make decisions to please God. The glory departed. The glory did not depart when everybody turned out to be nothing. The glory departed a long time ago when they made decisions based on what they wanted to do rather than what God told them to do. This was the biggest thing Eli got wrong. But the second thing he got wrong, this is very important. Eli lived by his emotions and self-will instead of living by God's revelation knowledge. Eli lived by his own emotions and his self-will rather than living by God's revelation knowledge. You can't do both. Because many times, our emotions and our self-will are always running contrary to God's revelation knowledge. See, Eli was the priest. But, put up for me, Mariah, thank you. 1 Samuel 3 verse 1, look at it. In the days of Samuel, the word of the Lord was scarce. Look at it. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord, before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. You know what that means? It means God was not speaking anymore. God was not speaking anymore. Do you know why God stops speaking sometimes? Because people stop listening. If God speaks and you don't listen, he speaks again, you don't listen. He speaks again, you don't listen. After a while, he stopped talking. So this was Eli, the priest. Samuel, the little boy, was growing up under him. And there was no revelation, the word of God. Let me say this to you. If you're taking notes or you go back to listen to this message, this is one of the most important things I'm going to say to you in this service. Before I close, I'm going to get ready and close in a minute. Listen to this. The worst drought in the life of any man or woman on this earth is not a drought of money. It's not a drought of friends. It's not a drought of earthly possessions. The worst drought in the life of any man or woman on this earth is the drought of the word of God and revelation knowledge. When you don't hear the voice of God anymore, my friend, you are a walking corpse. It's a matter of time before they pick up your body somewhere. When you don't hear the voice of God anymore, hear me, church. Hear me, Abundant Life. And the guests of Abundant Life, thank God you made it in today. Hear me. This is one of the most important things you can learn in your Christian life. The most precious thing in the life of any human being is the Word of God. Everything begins with thus saith the Lord. Do you know what the scripture says in John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And that life was the life of men. And was the light of men. And that light shineth in darkness. And the darkness will never comprehend it. The darkness that will come against your life, the darkness that will come against your family, the darkness that will come against your destiny, the darkness that will come against the awesome future that God has planned for you, the only thing that will sustain you through that darkness is the Word of God.
Amen.
The worst drought in the life of any human is a drought of the Word of God. My prayer for you and the drought of revelation knowledge. Thank you. My prayer for you today is that you will not suffer drought.
Amen.
The drought of the Word of God. Let's try to bring this to a close. When you honor God, God will honor you in three ways. Number one, He will put His own weight. I won't take long on this. I'm going to close. I believe I've said the most important thing in this service that the Lord wanted me to say. When, number one, honors reward, the three ways in which God will honor you. Go back there, Lord. All right, go back. All right, hear this. Listen to this. The Lord said, go back. There's something I missed here. Listen to this. He did say, I missed something, and I did miss something. Listen to this. If you are taking note or you're listening to this message at another time, listen to this. If you honor or love anyone or anything above God in your life, it will eventually create a conflict that you may never recover from. If you love anyone or anything, listen to this now. See, some people say, well, God, I love my family. You know, am I not supposed to love my family? Yeah, you are supposed to love your family, but not before God.
Amen.
Not above God.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Eli, I'm supposed to love my sons. You're supposed to love them, but not at the expense of your honor to God.
Amen.
Whenever God sees that there is a competition, you honor and you love somebody or some people or some things more than you love and you honor Him, God will challenge you to choose. So He told Isaac, Isaac, do you really love me? You love me? You honor me? Okay. You have one son, right? Only one. You don't have three. You don't have many. You have only one. You waited for that son for like how many years? Almost 30 years. Or more. 30, 30. We're 25. God said, take that boy and go and sacrifice him. You are going to kill that boy. Uh-uh. Abraham said, hey, I should go and kill the one that I waited for 25 years. God said, you are going to go and kill him. Why? Why? Because if you read this, let me read this to you from my notes one more time. If you honor or love anyone or anything above God in your life, anyone, it could be anyone, it could be people that are precious to you, It could be properties. It could be things you own. It could be accomplishments. If you love or honor anything or anyone above God in your life, it will eventually create a conflict that you may never recover from. God said to Isaac, God said to Abraham, go and kill him. What was God trying to do? He wants to find out, do you love me more than that boy? Because I gave you that boy. That car that you are shining, you shine every day. Until you can see your face in it like a mirror. I'm the one who gave you that house. If you see cockroach on the street, not inside your bedroom, cockroach on the street, you will go, because you have to protect any little speck, any little dust. That's your house. But when you die and leave this earth, somebody will take that house. And eventually, they will forget you. Eventually. We are all living. And when we leave, we will take nothing from here. That thing you are trying to die for, that job, you are so committed to that job, you don't have time to raise your children. One day, they will move you away from that job, and they will not even remember you were ever there. Even before you park, your load, now when you say, sign you out of all the systems, remove you from, you can't log in, you can't, before you park, they have already hired your replacement. The one you sacrifice your family for. The one you sacrifice God for. The one you sacrifice everything valuable in your life for. Because you know I have to do this job. This is what provides my pay packet. If I don't do this job, who's going to pay our salary? How do we pay the mortgage and the car loan? They will not even remember you. If you honor and if you love anyone or anything above God in your life, it will create a conflict that you may never recover from. My friends, let's honor God. When you honor God, God will put his weight behind your word. When you speak, every time you speak, God will put his weight on your word. See, when we speak this confession, not the one you speak on other people, the one you speak on yourself first. Because you know these confessions and the word of God, anywhere you take in the world, you go read the Psalms, you go read promises, you go, God said he's going to do this in my life. Like he told Eli, I promise I will do this, This, when we read those things, we are reading them first on our lives, on our own selves. It's not on other people. A word that does not work in your own life will not work in somebody else's life. So before somebody start prophesying on you, look at them first. Is it working in their lives? It they work. You guys sang a song. Is that a song you guys sang earlier today? It they work. Check. Before you say so, I got a word from the Lord. You know, there's so many prophets in the world now. Social media you just be very careful because there are prophets everywhere. Tomorrow. send me 500. You know, because all these popularity things, the sharper people are, the more articulate they are, and then the more they can sound spiritual, It's not there. If you went to the priest, if you went to the temple that day, Eli looked very spiritual. But the man was a walking corpse. He couldn't hear a thing. No open revelation. No word. When God sent a prophet, when God sent that word to Samuel, and God revealed that word to Samuel, Eli said, what did God tell you? Samuel didn't want to tell him because he was afraid. It was not a good word. Eli said, tell me. What did God say? After Samuel told him, he said, let him do as he seems right to him. After all, he is God. You see, for a long time, the man couldn't hear a word. But if you saw him, like Anna saw him, thought, man of God. Send me 2,000, send me $5,000. I will tell you what God will do in your life tomorrow. Don't worry, I don't need to know what God will do tomorrow. Today is enough for me. His word is enough. The one he has for me today, let me walk with that one. Then, as I walk with that one, tomorrow will reveal itself. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody get excited about our God in this house. We serve a living God. Hallelujah. He's a mighty God. He's a God of glory. He's a God of grace. He's a God of honor. He's a God of favor. He's a God of fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's close this out. If you honor God, God will honor you. Three ways God will honor you. Number one, he will put his weight behind your word. When you speak any word, God will put his weight on it. God will put his weight on it. Number two, God will enlarge your coast. Like he enlarged the coast of Jabez. God will honor you and enlarge your coast. Number three, God will bless you with the blessing of double honor. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I really love that part. Stand to your feet. Let's close out here. Let's pray. I really love this scripture. All week. Oh my goodness. All week has been reverberating in my spirit. It was a time of famine. It was a time of famine. You can put that up. I'm closing, Mariah. You can put that up. It's 1 Kings. 1 Kings 17, I think it is. And I think if you go all the way down, I'm not sure it's verse 26 or something. If you look for that verse where Elijah came to the widow and said to the widow, honor God and give me what you are preparing. If you can find that verse. It's 1 Kings. And the widow said, servant of God, I'm just going to do this, gathering these two sticks before I can make the last little one that I have, and my son and I will eat it, and then we will die. That's it. Thank you. You found it. Look on the screen. Elijah said to her, do not fear. No, go to the verse before this. Look at the verse before that. So she said, as the Lord your God lives. Go to the verse before this. And she was, as she was going, go to the verse before this. So he arose and he went to Zarephath. Thank you. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to the widow and said, bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please also bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And the widow said, prophet, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. This is where emotion would have kicked in. Emotion would have said, oh, this is what we're going to do. This is what makes sense. Well, the man of God said, Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But make me a small cake from it first. Notice, first. The woman said, I'm going to do this. I'll make it for myself and my son. It's very little. After we eat it, we will die. The servant of God said, I want you to honor God and make that cake. You see, I told you at the beginning, anytime you read something in the Word of God, ask yourself, what is the heart of God? This is why people miss God every day. Because they take the letters and they always take it out of context. You hear so many prophets in the world now say, give it to me first. give it to me first. I'm sure books have been written that say, give it to me first. Give it to me first. What God was saying here to that widow woman, honor God. Honor God. He said, and afterward, then bring some for yourself. Make some for yourself and your son. Go on to the next verse. And thus says the Lord God of Israel. I love this. He says, the barrel of meal will not waste, and the cruse of oil will not fail until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. Then she went and did exactly what that servant of God said. She went away and did exactly according to the word. See, notice, she could have made a decision based on her emotion, but she made a decision based on revelation knowledge. And because she made a decision based on revelation knowledge, even though it was in conflict with her emotions, the Bible says the word of the Lord actually did come to pass. They ate for many days, and truly the barrel of meal did not waste, and the cruse of oil did not fail, according to the word that the Lord has spoken to Elijah. I want you to take a step with me as we close this message. I believe that the Lord spoke to you. I don't know about you, but every time I receive the word of the Lord, my first step is, what do I want to do with this word? If everything begins with the word of the Lord, if everything God will do in my life begins with his word, every time I hear his word, the first question I ask myself is, what am I going to do with this word? I want you to do something with this word. Wherever you are today, whether you are listening to me in this small room or whether you are online somewhere, you are listening to this message at a later time, I want you to do something with this word. What are you going to do with this word? Are you going to honor God? Are you going to make a turn today? Are you going to make a turn, a hard turn today? Are you going to turn the light and look into your life and look at the trend? How do you make your decisions? How do you look? How do you look? What lenses do you judge life through? How do you get up to go? What is the motivation for your actions? Is it honor? The honor that you have for God? The weight that you have put on God? Or is it the weight you have put on other people and things? All of us need to make a commitment out of this service. Between you and the Lord, tell him, Lord, today I'm making a commitment. You may even think to yourself, like Eli thought, I think I honor God. I think if somebody asked me before, I thought I honor God. But the Lord showed us this morning, yes, you honor God, but do you honor others? Is your family first? Is your career first? Are your finances first? Is the pursuit of your dream first? Or is God first? We all need to make an adjustment. For some of us, It's not a major adjustment. It's just a slight turn where you are making so many decisions, pouring all of these emotions into this area of your life that is excluding God from occupying first place. Because when there is a conflict, you have to choose one. And when you choose anything or anyone above God, you create a conflict that you may never recover from. Well, let's make that adjustment then. For some of us, it needs to be a sharp turn. Because we've been going on the wrong road. Playing church. Convincing ourselves that we're okay. But we know in our heart of hearts that God is not number one. Then you need to choose Him today. If you are such a person under the sound of my voice today. And there's so many other number ones not named God. Then I implore you to choose Him today. I implore you to open your heart to Him today. And say, Lord, I open up my heart to You. I look at the trail and I look at my track where I'm coming from and I can see how I have not put You first in my life. I can see how I have not honored You. But I heard Your word today and I want to make a decision. I want to go in a different direction. Is somebody praying with me in this church today? I want to go in a different direction. I want to make a turn. As long as I'm alive, I know there is hope. There is an opportunity for change. I want to make a turn today. From this moment, I want to hear you pray. Come on, church. From this moment today, I make a choice. I'm making a turn. I'm making a turn. I'm going in a different direction. I'm walking a different road. It doesn't matter how I got here. I'm going a different direction. I'm going a different road today. Is that you talking to the Lord? Is that you talking to your Heavenly Father? I'm going a different direction. I'm going a different direction. I'm starting all over. Lord, if You say there's a chance for me, I'm starting all over. If You say there is still hope for me, I'm willing to start all over. I'm willing, God, to give You the pages of my book so You can write a new story of my life, so You can give me a new beginning. I'm willing, God. Am I hearing somebody praying in this church? And if you have been serving Him and you've been walking with Him, to tell Him, Lord, I want to go even higher with You. I want to go a place where I've never been. I want to go a place where I've never been. I want to know You like I've never known You before. I want to walk with You closer, closer. Thank You, Lord. Father, we thank You so much for Your precious word. Thank You, God, for sending us revelation knowledge today. Thank You, God. Thank You, Father God, for causing Your word to attend to our lives and to our ways today. And God, as You sent us Your word, thank You for giving us the grace to attend to that word. Thank You, Father, for helping us so that that word doesn't just pass through our ears and then we forget it. No, Lord, but that we take hold of that word and then we make the changes. For every man and for every woman. For someone who may feel weak. For someone who may feel like, I don't know how to do that, preacher. I don't know how to make that change. Lord, I'm asking You for grace today. Let this service mark a new beginning in their lives. When they come out of here, let them find supernatural grace that comes upon their lives. Father God, to make a fresh turn on their journey with God. Let them suddenly find God in a way that they have never known Him before. Lord, we thank You. We bless You. You alone deserve all our glory. You alone deserve all our praise. We give it to You, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen.